ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट 1 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Shri Prahalad Uvacha, Kaumara Acharet Pragyo, Dharman Bhagavataniha, Durlabhang Manushang Janma, Tadapya Dhruvam Arthadam. Translation: Prahlad Maharaj said, "One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary, like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. The whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the perfect stage of devotional service in the human form of life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, from the very beginning of life, the Brahmacharya system is introduced, so that from one's very childhood, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human activities so as to engage perfectly in devotional service, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Swapamapyasya dharmasya chayate mahato bhayat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Modern civilization, not referring to the verdicts of Vedic literature, is so cruel to the members of human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, it teaches mothers to kill their children even in the womb on the plea of curbing the increase of population. And if by chance a child is saved, he is educated only for sense gratification. Gradually, throughout the entire world, human society is losing interest in the perfection of life. Indeed, men are living like cats and dogs, spoiling the duration of their human lives by actually preparing to transmigrate again to the degraded species among this 8,400,000 forms of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again to animal life. As already stated by Prahlad Maharaja, Bhagavat Dharma consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam Atmanivedanam. In all the schools, colleges, universities, and at home, all children and youths should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, to put them into practice in their lives, and thus to become strong in devotional service, free from fear of being degraded to animal life. Following Bhagavata Dharma has been made extremely easy in this age of Kali. The Shastra says, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalau Nasjeva, 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 Gatir Anyatha. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everyone engaged in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will be completely cleansed from the core of his heart and be saved from the cycle of birth and death. Shri Praharadu Vacha Kaumara Acharet Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatan Iha Durlabhang Manushang Janma Tadapya Dhruvam Artadham. Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Obviously, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada was a preacher of Krishna consciousness. There have been many preachers of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada differed from most previous preachers of Krishna consciousness in several ways. One way was that he was not just preaching with the idea that some people might take to Krishna consciousness. But he had an ambition. Usually when we say that word ambition, it means a personal desire to be fulfilled. But this is a spiritual ambition, so it means a desire to fulfill the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada's ambition was to change the whole world into Vaikuntha by making everyone Krishna conscious. And he sometimes gave an example of going to shoot a rhinoceros. Rhino. I'm sure that's probably the common Tamil word. Hippo? Well, a rhino's more dangerous than a hippo. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, he gave this analogy that if you fail, well, no one will blame you because, well, it's not that difficult to shoot a rhinoceros, but to kill it is very difficult because it's, you can only shoot it by hitting it in the head because its body is all covered by thick skin. And to put it in the head, you have to have it charging at you because he's got the big horns. He's a very dangerous creature. And if you succeed, well, all well and good. But in the endeavor to make the world Krishna conscious, certainly many more people will become Krishna conscious than if you don't endeavor to make people Krishna conscious. But it is actually possible to change the course of history or to change the course of human society by ideology. And that's been apparent in the world for the last few hundred years. Throughout the world, there was the idea, there was the uncontested idea throughout the world that there are kings and they are representatives of God, and that's the basic system of governance is monarchical. And gradually, as it was seen increasingly that kings were definitely not representatives of God by their misbehavior, then monarchy got replaced in the, what would that be, late 19th and early 20th century. Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, they were composing communist tracts. And on the basis of their ideas, large sections of the world changed their whole system of governance and outlook on history, economics, sociology, and everything for many years. More than 70 years. How long was that? About 70 years. 70 years, yeah. In the 1960s, the ideology of feminism was officially spawned. The term was coined in the early 1960s. And it was promoted as an ideology. Although its roots go way back, the first identifiable feminist in the Western world was Mary Wollstonecraft in the end of the 18th century, I believe, who was married to one of the earliest hippies, this Percy Blythe Shelley, who was a hippie, ahead of his time. So basically the philosophy of feminism is that men and women are equal, but women are more equal than men, to paraphrase George Orwell. And it's been tremendously influential in the world. And there was a deliberate effort among persons of homosexual tendency and those who supported them to change the perception that had been there in human society since time immemorial that there's something wrong with homosexuals, and to change the perception that there's nothing wrong and actually it's all very good. And this has also been tremendously influential to the extent that previously in many countries you could be jailed for being a homosexual, whereas nowadays if you even speak against it you can be jailed. In Iran you can still be hanged. And many things also, like contraception was formerly considered sinful. Now it was considered sinful, and then some of the churches said, well, okay, under some conditions, and then they said, you should use it. It went from against to neutral to in favor, due to propaganda of various ideas. So the propagation of these ideas is favored by the very atmosphere of the age, the atmosphere of Kali Yuga, in which adharma is considered dharma. But Srila Prabhupada was very hopeful of changing the tide of Kali Yuga by propagating Bhagavad Dharma. Principal means for doing that throughout the population in general was by distributing these books. Srila Prabhupada commented that the communists, they didn't come to India, but simply by distributing their literature, they were able to have so much influence. So Srila Prabhupada commented, if they could have so much influence with the 10th class philosophy, then why shouldn't we not be able to influence with this actual philosophy? Distributing Srila Prabhupada's books means to give the right ideas to people who are fully convinced of all wrong ideas. And people, they get these wrong ideas by various means. One of the main means is via the educational system. In India at the present time, there's a strong push for what they call the right to education. That every child has the right to go to school and get an education. Actually, what is required for the ongoing industrialization of India and urbanization of India is a population that is sufficiently literate to operate within an urban technologized ethos. So they promote that India needs this. What do you mean by India?
India and Arco.
Well, the Tatars, they need this. The Ambanis, they need this. The Birlas and the Hindus, they need this. But whether the child in the village needs it, that's not the consideration. India needs it. And people are educated to think that we need to be educated so that we can have a better life. I can work in the factory and drive an auto rickshaw. So I need to get... minimum 12 years of education to do that, right? This one devotee came from Slovenia here about 2-3 years ago. So I asked him what he's doing. And he said, told me that he's studying agriculture in the university. Then I asked him, his parents are farmers. So I said, why do you study? You just do what your parents do. He said, no, nowadays you're not allowed to be a farmer unless you have a university degree. What his parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents had done, he could also do, but no, he has to have a degree in agriculture, then only he can be a farmer. But actually you may need the degree because they made farming so complex now. They're all different, everything's all artificial and they have to They measure the milk. They have to measure every time it comes out the specific density and the specific gravity, and then the cream content. And all, there's so many tests and so many different. It became so complicated. So it seems to be the reality that you need an education to survive in the modern world. Srila Prabhupada kindly reminded us that, after all, with an education or without an education, Mother Earth is there. By the grace of Krishna, rains come. And with a little basic knowledge, different vegetables, fruits, grains, they can be grown. And actually, you can live very simply. Actually, the food production is only done by a very small amount of the population. And in traditional society, of course, there would also be barbers, teachers, doctors, and big people would have many servants, and then there'd be entertainers, and so on and so on. Zaminda, yeah, that's a specific system of overseeing the land introduced by the Mughals. Therefore, it's a Muslim word, zaminda, or a word from outside India. It's not a religious term. Yeah, just see how we think that the landowner means zaminda. But it's related to a particular polity, a particular political economic system. So you think that a landowner has to be a zamindar. Interesting, huh? The culture gets mixed up with the language and people's whole way of thinking.
Landowners are called paneya.
Is it? I heard zamindar. All right. He got a different word. Actually, the landowner is Krishna, and then the king. Yeah, that's right. And then the kings, they rule on his behalf, and they allot lands, that's all. But it's ultimately it all belongs to the Supreme Personality of God. If anyone thinks, I own this land, then they're a thief, that's all. So I can say this, and you can understand this, because you've heard from Srila Prabhupada, that Krishna owns the land, no one owns any land. So one major method of shaping society according to various ideologies is by the education system. And everyone in the education system, they have teachers and the parents, they all think we're doing something wonderful for the country and for our children. Bhagavata says, yes, yatma buddhi kunape tridhatuke swadhi kalatradishu bhoma idjati yatirta buddhi salile nakarhijid janeshvakinyeshu. Sa'eva gokaraha. One who thinks that his body, which is just a combination of three elements, is himself. Who thinks in terms of my body being myself, my wife is my relation. Wife, children, family, home, this is my identity. Who thinks janani janmabhumischa swargameva gariyasi. Who thinks that my mother and my motherland are more glorious than heaven. Who sees religion in terms of rituals also, only. So he goes to a holy place, takes a bath, and thinks, that's it, I did my job. So such a person is no more intelligent than a cow or an ass. So the educational people, the educational system is turning out asses, or, as Srila Prabhupada writes here, cats and dogs. Education should be for the purpose of giving people knowledge by which they themselves can be benefited and they can benefit others. But if we, from the outset, if we think that we are the body, then whatever knowledge we cultivate in relation to that misconception is all not only not going to benefit us, it's all going to implicate us more in a situation by which we completely spoil our human form of life. So people think that it's my duty to get my children educated. But they don't know that by getting their children educated in a wrong system of knowledge, they are actually acting as the enemy of their children. People think, I've done my duty for my children. But the idea of duty has, because it's based on a misconception, then what they think they're doing their duty, they're actually dispatching their children to hell. That's all. But society is, because they're going on this misconception, When we actually want to teach children what they really need to know, then they accuse us of spoiling the children's lives. Become very angry. Why are you not sending your children to the school where they can learn to become an engineer or a doctor or an auto driver? I was just reading a conversation with Srila Prabhupada. This was early 1970s when the Naxalite movement was strong in Calcutta. And one young man was saying to Srila Prabhupada that, well, I joined the Naxalites and my parents didn't mind, but then when I joined you, Prabhupada, then they became upset. So they think we're being cruel to the children. But Srila Prabhupada writes here that modern civilization is so cruel to the members of human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, that is their cruelty, that they don't send their children to be brahmacharis. It teaches mothers to kill their children even in the womb. So the whole educational system, Srila Prabhupada referred to it as a slaughterhouse. That might seem like an extreme description. Slaughterhouse is a place where animals are mercilessly butchered. There's blood everywhere and the animals are calling out in distress. So, well, we could say that the modern educational system is like a humane slaughterhouse. Just like people who want to stand up for animal rights, they say you have to kill the animals humanely. That means that instead of, for instance, hacking a goat 20 times with an axe until it dies, you have very good technological equipment by which one stroke or one bullet kills them immediately. So they don't have to suffer protracted, extremely painful deaths. That's called humane killing. So the modern schools, they are humane slaughterhouses. You may think, well, even that's really, really not a fair description at all. The teachers are nice, they're trying to be good to the children. Although, as one teacher told me in my school, back in my youth, that he took this job because it has short hours and long holidays. And as another teacher told me that who becomes the teachers? The ones who don't, they're not such good students that they don't get good jobs. So the ones who are left over after everyone got the better jobs, they become the teachers. Sorry if there are any teachers here, but I'm just repeating what I heard. Anushushrama in Parampara. You see what happens to children who are trained by teachers like that. They become a Hare Krishna like that. They should have had better teachers at school. So I wouldn't have joined the Hare Krishna movement. It's all the teachers' fault. Blame it on the teachers. So you see, in childhood, the parents and the children, they teach the children all nice things, all nice fairy stories, little poems. Like, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. I remembered it. They taught me well. They all know it. You don't have to translate it. They're all taught this in Indian schools nowadays. Then we have fairy stories like Goldilocks. I can't remember anything about the story of Goldilocks, just the story name. And the last line, of course, is, and they all lived happily ever after. And then there's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which I also don't remember. But anyway, all the fairy stories end with, and they all lived happily ever after. That's why they're rascals. They're teaching this nonsense. They all lived happily ever after. It's all rascaldom. Sorry, yes, Pastor Troy, I'm getting excited. From the beginning, they give this idea that actually the world is a very nice place and you can be happy here. This is rascaldom. Giving people a false hope that they can be happy in this world. And instead of teaching them that human life is temporary, we all have to die, they teach we all lived happily ever after. So Prahlad, in this chapter, we're seeing he's giving his schoolmates the education that their teachers would never teach them. For instance, Sukham Aindriyakam Daitya Deha Yogena Dehinam Sarvatra Labhyate Daivad Yathadukham Ayatnataha. That's verse 3. My dear friends born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life, obtained according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically attained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. So this is what children should be taught from the beginning of life. And Srila Prabhupada wanted Gurukuls to teach children this, what you really need to know. You may be an engineer, a doctor, a prime minister, a mafia leader. Well, they don't teach you that in school, how to be a mafia leader. So you can be all these things, but you have to die. And what you do in life, that will affect your whole future after your death. And people will protest, well, why teach this to little children? Let them be happy while they're young. But they go on throughout their whole life like that. Why discuss it at the age 20? You're still young, you can enjoy. Why discuss it at age 40? You still have strength in your body. And why discuss it at age 60? You don't have much time left to enjoy. And no one discusses it ever at any point in life. And therefore, the schools are the, we can say they're the preliminary slaughterhouses. Just like they have kindergarten and then they have school. So the kindergarten prepares you for the school, and the school prepares you for real life, which means ignorance. So Srila Prabhupada, following the example of Prahlad Maharaj, wanted to teach the things that people really know from the very beginning. You may say, well, they're too young to understand all these things, all this deep philosophy. Well, Prahlad was teaching it to the demoniac classmates of his. And even if they are young to understand, but still the subject matter is so important that just start teaching to them as soon as there's any, as soon as they can even begin to understand anything. They need to understand this. Life is short. Dehino smenyata dehe komarang yovanam. There's no guarantee that you're going to go from kumar to yuvak. There's no guarantee that you're going to go from childhood to youth. You might have your dehanta prapti before that. So these things should be learned immediately. In the schools, they have nowadays sex education. That was introduced just in the schools in England just before when I was in primary school, then you go into secondary school. So we got that in our biology classes. It means they give you the biological explanation of the facts of life, as they call it. In some countries, babies are brought by storks, brought by storks. Stork is something like a buck, something like that. The stork is a big bird that you see in places like Croatia, not in England, like a crane, like a buck. The children ask their mother, where did I come from? They say, a stork carried you in some cloth and brought you. That's in southern and eastern Europe where they have storks. In England, they're found in cabbage patches. You have them in cabbage patches in Croatia also.
Abortions are done by shooting this.
Abortions are done by shooting the birds.
Yeah, this bug in Bosnia. It's a joke.
It's a joke, yeah. They're Muslims, they don't agree. Well, actually, Christians didn't believe in abortion either until recently. Still, many of them are against it. Anyway, we're getting a little overly culturally finessed here for trying to explain all these things to people from Tamil Nadu. You don't need to understand all these things. Better you don't understand. But in school we learn the real biological facts. So in Srimad Bhagavatam there is also sex education meant for 5-year-olds. Spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. Yan maithunadi grihamedhi sukham hi tucham. Kandu yanena karaya iva dukkha dukkham. Tripyanti neha kripana bahudukha bhaja. Kanduti van manasijang vishaheta dhiraha. Somewhere in here, I'm not sure exactly where. But anyway, Prahlad teaches that persons who are grihamedhis, which in the Bhagavad language means who are inordinately attached to family life. You can find it. 7945. So, yes. The happiness that they enjoy, their life is dedicated to happiness. But whatever they enjoy, their enjoyment is tuccha. which means insignificant, very little. And the main source of their happiness, the primary source, is maithun, which means sex. And Prahlad Maharaj compares it to having an itch in your hand, and when you scratch it, you feel some relief. And that's compared to the happiness of sex enjoyment. Although they think it to be pleasurable, it's actually a source of great distress. Now, even Srila Prabhupada has analyzed this elsewhere, and of course other acharyas have. We got this from Srila Prabhupada. In the fifth canto, in the forest of material enjoyment, there's much analysis of this. That even if you perform sex in a very pious way with a legally married wife, still you have to go to so much endeavor and you have to take so much anxiety to maintain a family. And you become materially attached. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains his own situation. How he, in his youth, he accepted the wife according to dharma smarya, remembering dharma, I should be married, he accepted a wife, then he was maintaining her. He describes all these things, but the end result, he says, is Tomare bhulinu hari. I forgot you, Krishna. And for people who engage in illicit sex, then in this life they have to suffer so many ways. And they have to suffer hellish punishments. So this Srila Prabhupada's purport, if you want to read that, we can read part of that. That it just captures the whole point to this Yanmaitunadi verse. I'll read some of that. Materialists think that sexual indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world, and therefore they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is generally found everywhere, and specifically found in the Western world, where there are regular arrangements to satisfy sex life in different ways. Here in India also you see all the cinema posters, and it's all the same subject. It's just sex, that's all. And people just keep on going again and again, and it's the same theme with just little slight nuance on it, but it's the same thing over and over and over again. It's just sex, that's all. Srila Prabhupada continues, actually, however, this has not made anyone happy. That's good to remember, those devotees who are thinking, well, I should also enjoy sex. And look around you. Look at all the people in the world who have full facility to enjoy. Are they happy? It's a rhetorical question. No need to provide the answer. You can fill it up yourself. You can fill up the form yourself. Answer yes or no. Such persons are described here as kripanas, misers. The human form of life is a great asset, for in this life one can fulfill the goal of existence. Unfortunately, however, because of a lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advises one not to be misled by this civilization of sense gratification, and especially not by sex life. Rather, one should be sober, avoid sense gratification, and be Krishna conscious. So this is the education that should be given to children. Very heavy subjects. Education in reality. People think reality means I've got to work and get money and maintain my family. Well, that is reality on one level. But ultimate reality is to understand that neither you are working, nor you have to maintain your family, nor do you even have this family. It's not your family. You don't have anything except the opportunity to choose to serve Krishna or not serve Krishna. So we wish to impart this education. Instead of fairy stories, people grow. Actually, previously in India, they didn't hear all these fairy stories. That's imported from the West. People live their whole life in fairy story consciousness. They graduate from Goldilocks to Batman, and they don't get any further than that in their whole life. They're just like these movies. They love to go to the movies. In the West also, Batman, I think it was last year, was it Batman was the big one in the West, or 2 years ago? Batman, Spider-Man, Star Wars, and just all fairy stories, make-believe, just nonsense. Nothing to do with reality at any level. But telling fairy stories, that just gets people in the consciousness where they can live in the consciousness of some fantasy. all their life. They just go from one fantasy to another. Oh, sports, the fantasy that, you know, our team is winning. And it's just no relationship to the reality that we all have to die and we have to take the results of our activities. So definitely the only proper education is to educate people in Bhagavata Dharma, is to teach them Srimad Bhagavatam, as taught and lived by the Bhagavatas, the great devotees. Prahlad Maharaj is described in Bhagavatam as Maha Bhagavato Mahan. He's great even among great devotees. So we should take his teachings very seriously. And even if we're so unfortunate that we went through a regular education and we didn't have this education in childhood, then we should take it up at whatever point we can. This is not blind faith. This is not like sending children to a madrasa where they get indoctrinated in some system of blind faith. But this is knowledge that you can perceive this. The point that sexual happiness, which is the fulcrum of all of human society, the whole society is centered on that, but it doesn't make people happy. It's a factual observation of the world, but unless you're told it, people can't understand it. Even these so-called religions, they're all based on the hope for sexual happiness. That's why people can be convinced to become suicide bombers, because they think that I'll get so much punya. Allah will be so pleased if I kill others and myself by doing this, that I'll immediately go to heaven where I can enjoy all beautiful young women. It's a very, very different conception to Aslishava Padaritam Pinashtumam, pure love of Krishna. And this we can understand from Shastra that this, they're not going to any heaven. It's completely tamasic. From tamasic activities, you have to suffer extremely severe reactions. Or they have this idea in some Christian sects that you go to heaven and you live with your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your grandparents, and so on. It's all based on expansion by sex, that's all. So expect everyone to protest against this system of education. It's not good for developing the economy. It will not make people well-adjusted citizens of this world. It will make people without any material ambition. And we'll send them back to Godhead. So the materialistic people, they don't want to go back to Godhead. As Prahlad says, Matiena Krishne Paratasvatova, they've determined, Grihavratanam, they're determined, we shall not become Krishna conscious under any circumstances. Hiranyakashipu, he could have listened to Prahlad. Could have said, well, actually, you're right, Prahlad. I did so many austerities for so many years to get the power which I got to conquer the world, and I'm still not happy. And you look much more happy than me, so I should try to be like you. Didn't happen. He's a fool. Hiranyakashipu is a fool. You couldn't tell him that. He wouldn't be prepared to hear that. And he's such a fool that there's really nothing you could do to bring him to his senses. So Prahlad just tolerated. He told him the fact, but he couldn't change Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad was able to influence many of the young children in the school. Hare Krishna. Any question about this?
Hare Krishna. Regarding this
fairy tale. Pass over the mic.
Karmis
organized readings of fairy tales.
Publicly.
Public reading of fairy tales.
And devotees came, they sung Mahamantra for 10 or 15 minutes. It's always beneficial. And they read a story from Krishna book.
They read a story from Krishna book about Aghasura.
And one more, I don't know. So my question is,
this is very offensive, actually, to present Krishna Leela as fairy stories. I would have gone there and spoken like this and said, your whole life is a fairy story. and say that... many people might take this, that you say that what you're calling fairy stories, that why do we call... When I was a kid, before I joined the movement, it struck me that there are so many descriptions of dragons in cultures all over the world. Probably there were dragons at some time. Maybe there are some even now. So just by going in the library, which is supposed, the public library, which is, you have that? You must have had it in Yugoslavia also. The books which are supposed to make you a good idiot of the, or a good member of society, started thinking like that. There's dragons are described, fairies and gnomes and elves. And of course, I wasn't the only one thinking like that. There's in the hippie era and going on still today, there are people who believe in fairies and all this kind of thing. Leprechauns in Ireland, trolls and all kinds of things. The invisible, what's it? Not the invisible man, the abominable snowman and all this kind. So it made me think, well, there probably are these things, and these are people are teaching us, are deliberately teaching us the wrong thing. We have fairies in Indian culture. Do you have? Well, you have things like Vetals and like that. Vetal, Bhoot, and all this kind of thing. They're ghosts. Oh, what to speak of Kimpurushas, Kinnaras, Gandharvas, Apsaras. In Indian culture, you have all these Rakshasas, Yakshas, Charanas, Siddhas, all different kinds of demigods and semi-demigods, Gandharvas. One of the several areas of our Sadaputa Prabhu's interests. He was, you know, he was deeply learned, well, in various fields of science and in ufology. He was a world authority on ufology. One of the things he was into was world folklore also. But he brought out these points in several articles that probably, or there's a good, he put it in scientifically acceptable language. That probably you could build a good case that there's actually one world culture, was one point he wanted to make from that, and that the things they're describing is not just imagination. So depending on the, you'd have to see the mood of the ambience that the organizers wanted to present, but if it was somewhat open-minded, I would take it as a great opportunity to present that this is reality. You're living in a fairy story. We're presenting reality. Krishna Lila is reality. The whole of material existence is a fairy story. They lived happily ever after. It's all a fairy story. Where was that? In Zagreb. To present Krishna consciousness as a fairy story is a blasphemous. It's an insult to Krishna and to all the and to Shastra and to all the Acharyas. That's been going on. You've seen that book that said Ramayana, like a Walt Disney movie. That was way back in the 1980s, and early 1990s. Sadaputa protested against that also. Generally, we think that for children, we should have just Leela and some dance, some drama and this and that without the philosophy. But that's not the way Prahlad said to do it. Otherwise, they take it to be just some childish story, not meant for real adults. It's only these are just stories for children, that's all. When you stop presenting the philosophy, then everything is lost. Because if we don't present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then people are open to the philosophy that they get at school, the philosophy of materialism, and they take that to be the actual meaning of life. And stories about Krishna, they're just stories like Goldilocks. They're nice stories to help make the children good. Good stories, moral stories, to make the children good and nice and not shoot their teachers in the classroom. That's what you're getting in the modern schools, more and more. I have a cousin in Ireland who wrote, somehow they got my email address. He wrote, it's a teacher, and it's like, and it's such a difficult job. The kids are just so disturbed. They have no idea of any discipline. You're not allowed to discipline them. And they're just like, they're all completely wild, and to educate them is the most, it's like educating them is just like, if you can keep them in order, that's like a great achievement. One thing that's not directly spoken in Western culture, but which children learn from the beginning of life, is not to respect anyone. You should not respect anyone. It's below your dignity to respect anyone. And you should show how your own dignity by insulting everyone, including your parents, teachers, and so on. And that's why America has to import all their, for running all their software businesses and everything, people from India and other countries. Because their own kids, they don't get any proper education. How can you educate them if they're just a bunch of wild animals? And if anyone, if in the West people have respect, just like there's some respect, just like someone's your boss in the company. You have to show, you don't actually respect them, but you have to show respect, otherwise you lose your job. And they respect, like if someone's a great footballer, then he's highly respected. Or some famous film star, means big prostitute. Then yeah. Very respected. So, as Srila Prabhupada wrote in this Prabhupada that we read today, and he many times stated, modern civilization was one of cats and dogs. We should not be enamored by that. As Srila Prabhupada wrote in one place, our movement is a protest against this modern civilization. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yeah.
But you're already talking in the direction. But looking to the past and the Gurukul I'm observing, I find that children are teach knowledge and philosophy, and all that thing, but seems to be a little bit lack of teaching that you have proper character.
You're saying in the past in ISKCON Gurukuls,
yeah,
education was there, but not character education, which actually Srila Prabhupada stressed as being most important. So
maybe you can just a little bit more elaborate on the importance of building character of the people.
Yeah, building character.
Just giving them knowledge.
Knowledge and character. Actually, the two go together. If there's actual knowledge, good character must be there. And without good character, without the teachers themselves having good character, they won't be able to impart this knowledge to others. Because good character means self-control. But in modern education, neither the teachers are self-controlled, and then naturally the children are not either. I remember seeing some of the teachers at school. Some pretty young girl joined as one of the teaching staff, and immediately the young men teachers were all round her. And then one of the teachers, anyway, I don't have to say what he used to do to some of the young girls in the school. I mean, they're just animals, that's all. The teachers themselves were just not self-controlled at all. We were like the children in the school were just like laughing at the teachers, how they're like dogs behind the pretty young teacher. Who's going to get her?